Welcome to Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know.
Yeah.
I am Zane C. Weber, and helping me present today is
Kristen Barros
and
Julie Eisentrager,
and our super special extra guest that will always be here, except today when she's the guest, she's also here, is
what? Miranda Selwood.
Well, you are one of our hosts, but today you are our guest.
Picked the show. I am both host and guest.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So what show have you picked for us? Everyone will know, but let's just have this conversation like it's new to us.
It was my first big love, 42nd Street.
Oh, no. I've done no preparation.
Oh,
what do I do now?
Let's see if we can just talk about
42nd Street. Excellent.
We'll guess it. I'll assume what it's about.
It's probably about a street.
That's
some,
right.
So some cars.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's an old musical, so maybe it's about horses and carts.
It's not that old.
Oh, okay. Well, I said I didn't do any research, so.
Would you like me to tell you all about it?
Well, not yet. We have a get to know you guest quiz that you get to do this week.
Ooh.
Yeah. Very nice.
So, question number one.
All right. Is there like a timer and points? Is there a system?
Yeah.
Yes, right now. You don't get to know any of that. I'm keeping time and points. Which musical character would other people compare you to?
You know, I had a long time to prepare and I didn't actually think about any of this. I knew what they were. What would other people compare me to?
Mm.
Well, I have been told that my casting type is a drunk mother. So,
Mama Rose?
Maybe more of an Auntie Mame. In fact, my sister could probably attest to that, as I have dragged my niece into musicals quite recently, her first show.
How physically was this dragging?
It didn't take a lot of dragging. She was pretty keen.
Good.
But, I had a home after midnight a couple of times. So
party animals.
Auntie Mame.
I mean, and your niece is, what, seven?
Seven, yes.
Yeah, well, it's good to get them started young. What musical character do you think you should be compared to?
Ooh. Look, there's a lot to choose from.
You're mostly a dancer.
Well, I was originally. I came to theatre through dance. That's my childhood background, mainly a dancer. Oh gosh, an old dancer, maybe.
But now you sing and you produce.
I do. Are there any musical theatre characters that do those things?
That are women?
That are women?
What is there anyone in a chorus line that might fit that bill? I don't know a chorus line well enough to pick characters.
I would say no.
No.
I'd be firm on a no with that one, actually.
I honestly don't know. I think we're going to have to skip the question.
What would you like? What do you think you should be compared to? I think you have a few in your head. You just don't want to say.
No. Oh, okay. I'll take Joe from Little Women. Strong, creative character.
Yeah.
Who goes out there and makes things happen.
And sings about it. Like everyone. What is your dream role?
Mama Rose from Gypsy.
Very nice.
All right. This was really quick. I love it.
That was quick.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can we make that happen?
I hope so.
Eventually.
I hope so. Yeah.
2 years?
We'll see.
I mean, you've got a lot of time for that. Like you're on the young end of someone who can play
like
Mama Rose.
Annie is my chosen role. And, I've already missed the boat.
You could play her a couple of times.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Just every year. Just do another one.
Yeah, every year. Every 5 years maybe. Make it like a 5-year thing just to see how she's developed within 5 years.
Yeah, sure. We'll give it a go.
Well, what is your favourite Sondheim show?
Oh, I do like a bit of Company. I do like Into the Woods, so I know some people get a little like woo-woo-woo about it.
You heard it here first.
But I'm actually going to go with the cheeky response and say Gypsy.
That's very cheeky.
Yeah.
Because
it's not a Sondheim.
Yeah, he's just the lyrics in that
he's
one.
He's just on
he
it.
He still has his name to it.
That's
so
right.
That's I'll give it. Yeah.
So I'm going to take it.
Look, I'll allow it.
We're
making up the rules. So.
I'll take that for lyrics. And for music, I'll take the Dick Tracy film.
Okay, yeah.
I love the music in that. The songs in that are great.
Well, that's going on everyone's to listen to / watch list.
Yes.
It is very good. It wouldn't be my favourite of his stuff, but yeah.
Mm.
What is your go-to shower song?
Oh, gosh. Really just whatever I am trying to get the lyrics right to for the show I'm in at the time.
Well, right now.
Honestly. right now.
The show you were most recently in or the show that you're about to be directing soon?
About to be directing soon, I think. I keep getting All for One from Spamalot stuck in my head. So that's made a couple of shower appearances.
Yeah. And finally, you have to delete one musical from existence.
Oh.
Which one is it? Just to end on a negative. Mm.
I'm sorry, everyone. But Rent has got to go.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm okay with that too.
Yeah, really? That's the most offensive one.
It's not offensive. It's just boring.
It just can go. I'm done.
It's been done.
I'm sick of people talking about
it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good. You heard it here first.
our very first episode, guys, and we've just lost half of our listeners.
I'm sticking up for Rent. I don't think Rent is anywhere near the top of the musicals that should be deleted from existence.
Well, yeah, I think there's a lot more very, very dated musicals that really should go for various reasons. But, Rent is just, stop. No one cares.
You know, we will be covering Rent at some point.
Yes, of course we will.
Let's leave this discussion for
episode.
Okay, so does anyone have any Broadway news? Any entertainment sort of stuff that's come up in the last while that we want to talk about?
I believe you have some Broadway news you want to share.
I do.
It's been on Facebook a lot today. Well, today being when we're recording, of course, not when you're listening. So it's probably old news for everyone.
It'll be a little bit old, but I want to talk about the casting for Disney's live-action Aladdin.
Yes.
Mm. I have to admit, it had escaped my notice that this was even a thing.
Well, there's so many. Yes. How can you keep track of what's going to be next?
Well, I'd heard that they're doing it. And I was like, oh, why do we need to? Like Lion King, why do we need to?
Yeah.
I'm not too disappointed with the casting, but the one big question mark in everyone's mind is Will Smith as the genie.
See.
Oh.
Yeah. I like that it's a newcomer or a relative newcomer for Aladdin. I think that's really cool.
Oh, absolutely.
Cool. Yeah.
But I read Will Smith and I was like, really?
Yeah, like Genie's meant to be like larger than life and Will Smith is more of like the any man in his movie work at least than larger than life.
Well, I am glad to hear that he wasn't put forward for Aladdin because he's a little old for that, let's be honest. But I guess they needed somebody who could sing, someone who's proven themselves in comedy, which he has.
Yeah.
And I guess that'll work. I can't imagine it with anybody but Robin Williams.
No.
Well, we've seen it on Broadway.
Yes.
But it's a reimagining of the role in a lot of ways. Is he still going to be like a trickster, fly in and fly out and changes?
I hope so.
We don't know.
I hope so.
Magical genie.
I love the genie.
Yeah.
I mean, in my head that I was like, well, that's the thing that I would go to see without any questions about whether or not it's going to be hilarious and perfectly acted, is Titus Burgess.
Yeah.
I think that would be a hilarious portrayal of Genie.
Yeah.
And you could take it so far away from what Robin Williams did that is not really comparable, which is what you have to
do. Well, I think Will Smith will do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a different still, way.
Like, just listen to his MIB and his Wild Wild West songs. Like,
well, no, don't
Wild Wild West. I hope they can find a place to just give a little bit of Wild Wild West just in there.
Just a
little. Or what's the getting jiggy with it?
Oh, well, if they're going down like homage to Robin Williams, like I'm sure that they will put some of like contemporary references to Will Smith's oeuvre in there.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to come off as still that really comforting. He's not a father figure, but he's a very comforting, jolly figure. Yeah, more like Santa, I guess.
Mm.
I've never thought of Will Smith as Santa.
A vuncular. He's like a fun uncle.
He's a fun uncle. So I guess Will Smith could do that. But.
See, I would like to see Will Smith as Jafar.
Yeah.
I think that's
who is down for Jafar.
They haven't announced anyone yet. So
yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I don't have any real strong feelings about Jafar.
One of the Fines.
Yeah.
Ralph or Rafe. Joseph, whichever his name is.
Rafe Fines.
Yeah. So,
okay. I see where you're going with that. You've gone evil, Voldemort.
Voldemort.
Yeah.
Should make sense.
All right, well, that's all that all the news that's kind of come onto my radar in the last little bit. So let's move along, shall we?
Moving right along. Yes. Let's talk about 42nd Street.
Let's talk about 42nd Street.
Hey,
why
everyone.
We're here, that's what we're doing.
So welcome to Miranda's first musical. And this is the reason that I picked this. We decided our first four episodes are going to be one of our own choice. That is a show that's special to us, meaningful in some way, that we can share with you. And this is really the show that turned me into a musical theatre geek in one way or another.
It put the taps on your shoes.
Literally, yeah. So I saw this show in Sydney, which was very exciting at the time. Having gone down to Sydney, my grandmother took me to see this show and I was just completely blown away and went away from that going, I'm going to be a tap dancer. This is what I'm going to do now. Thanks.
It's my life.
Cheers. Cheers, everyone.
Thanks, Sydney.
I spent years learning how to tap dance and listening to the Australian cast recording on a record, on actual vinyl on a record player. I know.
It's amazing.
I'm not that old. Don't look at me like that. But yes, we had it on record. I've really grown up on it. And I went from there to the films and then from the films, into other films of the time and became really obsessed with Fred and Ginger. And, that's put a big stamp on my life and my personality and I think who I am. So very special for me. So let's talk about it. The 42nd Street came to us as a film in 1933, which was based on a book which was only released the year before. So they really picked up on this story and just went, let's
really fast
make a film out of that. But that's what they were doing in film at the time. The turnover on films was super fast. For instance, Ginger Rogers in that year made numerous films.
Do you know how long the production time was?
No.
No, that's
fine. I imagine it would have been quite short.
He's going to throw some spanners into your
preparation. To prove to everybody how little I'm prepared. So the film was a star vehicle film for Ruby Keeler, among others, and was choreographed by Busby Berkeley, who was super big at the time. And included a bunch of songs, most of which appear in the live musical version.
Yeah, yeah.
It took a very long time for that movie to be turned into a stage show, despite the fact that the movie is about a stage show. surprisingly. But 1981, which coincidentally was the same year that I was born into this world. You can feel free to add up my glorious age from there.
Don't worry, it'll be in the show notes for everyone.
164 years old.
Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know does not ask its audience to do maths.
So 1981 was the Broadway premiere of 42nd Street, now a stage musical. Yep. It won the Best Musical Tony that year, and it also won the Best Revival for its next airing, which was in 2001.
Well, before we get on to the musical in depth,
yes.
I just wanted to say that the film was so successful financially that Warner Brothers, without that film, would have gone bankrupt.
Wow.
So it saved Warner Brothers as a company at the time that it came out.
That's amazing.
It was massively popular.
Yeah, hugely
so
popular.
So popular, which is another reason why I'm surprised it took so long to then for someone to go, hey, that should be a stage show.
Yeah. And Ginger Rogers took the role of Anytime Annie because she was dating the director at the time.
Oh.
Shocking.
Well, he had to convince her to take it, but
yeah. So. I'm sure he did.
But yeah, by all means, go on. With the actual musical history.
Why, thank you. I will. So the original production played 3,486 performances on Broadway, and that was across three different theatres, so it moved around a little bit but kept on keeping on.
Mm.
And the revival did about just a little under half of that, 1,524 performances. And there are a lot of fun casting things in the various people who have played roles, but I'll leave that to Julie to share with you later. We've seen a couple of more recent revivals since, and there is currently playing on the West End a beautiful, beautiful, completely redesigned production, which has been described, their own website describes the show as the mother of all showbiz musicals. I don't know whether they're using mother in the term of it's just so big, it's like your mother, but or whether they're actually talking in a sort of more familial sense.
Yeah. It could be because it was probably one of the first of the shows about a show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the classic tale of the nobody small town girl who's plucked from the chorus and has to learn the show overnight and play the lead role and becomes, you know, a great wonder and saves the director from...
It's all it takes. Yeah. It takes one good performance and you're done for
That's
life.
That's it, you're done.
That's what we keep telling ourselves.
But more than anything, it's a Broadway fable. So it has a place in everybody's little Broadway hearts, I think, in that way. It's a big showbiz, massive dance number kind of show. It's really fun and it did its job at the time. So this is coming out of the Depression.
Yeah.
A lot of movies... and shows at the time were just so, they were full of tap shoes and sequins because that's what people needed to put joy back
but
in their life.
But also like aspirational storylines of this no one becoming someone.
Yay!
Yeah. Yeah. And the American dream being nothing, rags to riches.
You can do it too.
Everybody can.
Oh dear.
So yeah. Incidentally, it took another 8 years for Australia to get its premiere. So we saw it in 1989 and I think that would have been the production that I saw in Sydney. Yeah. So I didn't realise at the time, you know, what was I, eight, that, you know, that was the premiere because the movie is so old to then see the first production of it in the 80s
yeah, like
just feels so strange.
Later.
Yeah, yeah. So at the time, the Herald Tribune called it a great and joyous celebration of the old-style musical extravaganza.
Extravaganza,
yes. And I would say that's a pretty accurate description. But that cast, I don't know if I'm, don't want to step on your toes here, but that cast included Nancy Hayes, who I've had the pleasure of meeting, Tony Lamond, who I've had the pleasure of meeting, and...
Just casually name dropping.
Just yeah. casually.
I mean, we can tweet Leonie this episode Page. To them, I guess.
And new young performers, Leonie Page and Todd McKenney, who have both become household names since. So it's... Yeah, it's even special for us out here in Oz.
Australia. So has anyone here seen a professional production of it other than Miranda?
I have not seen a professional production.
No, well, it doesn't
get
staged here very often, but Julie's been in it.
I have.
Yeah. Have you ever been in it, Miranda?
I was almost in the same production as Julie. Unfortunately, I didn't make it past the first rehearsal for medical reasons, but yeah, that almost... killed me. I almost died. I was like, this is at last. And yeah, I didn't quite make it. So I'm still holding on to that one.
Do you all want a synopsis?
I definitely want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
What happens
synopsis? In 42nd Street?
Okay.
Genuinely can't remember.
It's 1933.
Okay.
And the newest show, Pretty Lady, is
Pretty Lady.
It's all coming flowing back.
You have to say it like that. Pretty Lady.
Pretty Lady is auditioning. so they're nearly over when Peggy Sawyer, fresh off the bus from Allentown, Pennsylvania, arrives in New York City with valise in hand, and Billy Lawler, already cast as one of the juvenile leads, the young men leads, notices her and hopes to charm her into accepting a date with him.
Of course he does.
Why not?
I'd say yes.
He's like, I can get you in.
Sounds legit.
He tells her that she's missed the audition, but he can help her bypass that process.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, how skeezy.
Yeah.
Only you could hear a wink, guys. Only you could hear a wink.
No, don't worry. He turns out to be lovely.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure. The choreographer... has no time for Billy, and she rushes off only to run into the director, Julian Marsh. Now, we go on to Dorothy Brock, who is kind of a one-time star. Aww. And is a bit indignant at being asked to audition for a role. But she's reassured by Bert that he merely wants to make sure that the songs are in her key. So you're not actually auditioning. We just need to hear you sing to see whether you can sing.
So just to be clear, we're talking the musical plot here, which is the 1980s version, which had quite a rewritten book.
Yes.
And a bunch of different songs that were plucked from other shows that the same writers had written around the same time.
Correct.
So in the we don't see any of that character development for Dorothy in the movie.
No.
She just rocks up and she is queen.
And that's the lead.
Done. All right, done.
I'll give her that.
So he thinks that she is a prima donna past her prime, but he agrees to cast her to get financial backing from her wealthy boyfriend, Abner Dillon. Yeah, so everything's on the level so far.
Who, just to counteract your horse and cart comment before, actually owns a car company. Yes, thank you. Motor vehicle.
So outside the theatre, writer Maggie and chorus girls Anytime Annie, Phyllis and Lorraine take pity on Peggy and invite her to join them for lunch and some advice.
Very nice.
What happened?
Well, Phyllis, obviously being the actual star of the show, that's the role that Julie played.
No, it wasn't.
Oh!
No, I'm doing this because my character actually wasn't listed as one of the girls.
Oh, no!
Oh, no.
I just ended up being one.
Why
of them.
Did I think it was Phyllis?
It was Gladys.
Oh, Gladys. They're very similar.
Gladys.
Excuse me. Please carry on.
So they encourage her to show them a dance routine, and Julian witnesses that. And decides that there might be room for one more chorus girl after all.
How funny. Look at that. Just opens up.
Convenient.
Yeah. Convenient. He just had to see your audition.
Oh.
So Julian learns that Dorothy is seeing her old boyfriend, Pat Denning, behind Abner's back.
Oh, dear.
So he has to fix this because if Abner finds out, it could mean that he decides to pull his funding and the show's gone. So he calls up some unsavory acquaintances and some thugs convince him to break it off with her.
That's what thugs do.
Yes.
Yes. They just walk up to you and politely suggest that perhaps you'd like to break it off, and he says, okay.
Yes. Is that how that works? I will. The show's cast then departs to the Arch Street Theatre in Philadelphia for the out-of-town tryout.
Philadelphia, PA. Philadelphia,
do you want me to do it in an American accent? I can do it in an American accent if you want.
No, no, please carry on in your own tone.
So on opening night, someone bumps Peggy, who trips and crashes into Dorothy, knocking her to the stage. Julian fires Peggy on the spot. End of act one.
No.
Drama.
I literally remember Peggy. None of that.
Oh, you were in this show.
Was I, though?
Does she get to come back?
Well, does she? Does she?
I don't know.
I think we've already covered that. But yeah, let's go on to our... Dorothy's ankle is broken and the show may close.
Before it's even opened.
Before it's even opened. The chorus kids, certain that Peggy could fill the role, find Julian and tell him that she's a fresh young face who can sing and dance circles around Dorothy. He decides it's worth a shot and rushes off to the train station to catch her before she departs.
That's really rude. Besides, she could dance. Of course she can. Dorothy's only got like one leg at the moment. So rude.
So at Philadelphia's Broad Street Station, Julian apologizes to Peggy and asks her to stay and star in the show. But she responds that she's had enough of show business.
And going back to Allentown.
Exactly right.
That was quick. She didn't last long. Allentown? Show business. She's really not cut out.
Dumbfounded, he tries to coax her with words, come along and listen to the lullaby of Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
After the cast joins him in the serenade, she decides to accept his offer. So she does get to come back.
That's good. Oh.
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 It's okay.
I was worried.
We gotcha.
So she's forced to learn the part in 2 days, and Peggy's on the verge of a nervous breakdown when she has an unexpected visit from Dorothy, who's been watching the rehearsals and realizes that that beneath her nervous exterior, Peggy is good, maybe even better than she would have been.
It's a big call.
Mm. Well, you know, that's actually pretty nice to show a prima donna actually giving some support to someone else instead of going the phantom route and being a terrible person the entire way through.
There's a really lovely scene in the film.
Yeah.
In the film, she doesn't get 2 days. It's literally
5 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Dorothy Brock comes into the dressing room and says really lovely things to her, and they have a little moment where it's like, oh, okay.
Which was...
Now keep learning.
totally against what I was expecting.
Yeah.
From the archetypes. So the opening night curtain is about to rise when Julian, who is completely in love with Peggy at this point, stops by for a last-minute lip lock and pep talk.
Lip lock and pep talk.
Also not in the original film.
Well.
Not in the film.
Okay.
in which he utters the now iconic line, you're going out there, youngster, but you've got to come back a star.
Very often nice. Misquoted, but that's correct, yes.
Yeah, good. Lucky, because I'm reading it. So the show is a huge success, sure to catapult her into stardom. In addition, even though she is invited to and expected to attend the official opening night party, she decides to go to the chorus one instead, leaving Julian alone on stage with only a single ghost light casting his huge shadow on the back wall. He quietly begins to sing, come and meet those dancing feet on the avenue, I'm taking you to 42nd Street.
On the avenue, I'm taking you to.
Yeah. On the avenue, I'm taking you to.
Comma.
42nd Street. Here it's ellipses.
All right.
I don't have musical notation in front of me, so awkward.
I forgive you.
Where does Billy go in Act Two?
Where does Billy go in Act? That's a good question.
He just hangs around. He's just part of the show.
Okay.
So we get from there on in the show within a show numbers.
Yeah.
And then we see the rest of the come together. So he appears in those.
Good.
In his role as the juvenile.
As the juvenile lead.
Very nice.
Yeah. So that's what it's about, you know. It's pretty straightforward. It's less complicated than some musicals.
Yes, yeah. There's no love hexagon.
No.
And there's no real villain either.
Well, not really.
No.
Yeah. They sort of paint Julian Marsh as a bit of the villain.
Yeah.
And Dorothy Brock also. Mm. They cause a little bit of trouble and heartache. But they both...
End up being supportive at the end. So.
Yeah.
And there's a great line in the movie, which I watched today, was just kind of like, there's not an actor out there that doesn't know what you're doing and what you're going through and isn't rooting for you, which is very similar to most shows. When something goes wrong, everyone's just like, okay, it doesn't matter. Let's just get the show done properly.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really good representation of theatre.
Yeah. I'm glad you think so.
Well, that's the thing. I have never been too familiar with the show. Like, I'm much more of the contemporary musical taste.
There's some good ones out there from back in the day. But, this is, like I said, a bit odd because the source material, the original story, is old.
Yeah.
But the newly written production is from the 1980s. Mm. This is the same time we were getting Andrew Lloyd Webber stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the time it was like, oh, look at this. I think people appreciated that it was completely done in this old style. The book is written in the fashion of.
Yes.
It's, yeah.
And
I'm glad they didn't feel the need to update it.
They didn't put an 80s spin on the music either.
Oh, thank God, no.
No disco remix.
No disco remix, which is really nice.
Yes. Thank you.
I feel like we do miss a fair amount of that kind of old school, old style musical sometimes in the stuff that comes through. I'm like, I could just give me some sequence and some tap. That's all I want today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's escapism.
Yeah.
And that was what was going on post-depression in the 30s, this escapist theatre. Like I said, it was just about reinforcing joy. And
yeah, it was just pure fantasy all
the way through. I still require that and view it regularly.
Well, who wants to talk about the songs?
I do. Pick me.
I pick you, KB.
Oh, thanks, Zane. It's not like I've definitely read about them.
Oh, I sure hope you have.
I have, actually. Let me just see if I can read under this light. Now, 42nd Street had a lot of different writers and composers and lyricists on board. It's like it's a big team for a musical. Lyrics by Al, I'm going to say this wrong, sorry Al, Dubin and Johnny Mercer.
Music, that sounded right.
It was?
Dubin, okay. I'd go Dubin.
Dubin? Yeah. That's what, yeah.
I don't really know.
Dubon?
Dubin?
Good old Al and Johnny Mercer wrote the lyrics. The music was written by Harry Warren and it was orchestrated by Philip J. Lang. Now, like we've said multiple times, the movie came out in 1933, but what I do really love about the music is that they kept it. It's swingy, it's big band, it's ballads and up-tempo and everything you love about musical theatre. Songs from the film were You're Getting to Be a Habit with Me, Shuffle Off to Buffalo, Young and Healthy and 42nd Street. They all remained in the stage show.
Yeah.
But then they added a whole bunch more and continue to keep adding more. So even in the 2001 revival, we got some new reprises. In the last 2017 West End revival, they added Boulevard of Broken Dreams, which the same writers wrote for Moulin Rouge. But they've put it into this show. So all the songs that they've brought into it are still written by the writing team.
Yeah, by the same
writers. But for other projects.
Which means it's kind of like this jukebox musical without been
a jukebox.
Yeah, which is really cool. I really like that. Lullaby of Broadway is one of my favourite musical theatre songs. I don't know why.
I feel like every dance school ever has done that as a song and dance at some point.
Probably. And so it's just like ingrained in you forevermore.
Well, even if you haven't been exposed to the musical as a whole, you'll probably know at least that song. Yeah. Maybe Shuffle Off to Buffalo, maybe 42nd Street.
Maybe maybe even Young and Healthy.
Like, maybe, yeah, yeah.
There are songs that you'll pop up and be like, oh, that's from 42nd Street. Oh, no, the whole time. Which is what is great about this musical, I think, is that it has taken its themes and everything from this movie, which people have seen. Like, you've seen it, surely.
I've definitely seen it.
I've seen it. Like, I don't know about you, Julie. Have you seen it?
No.
No, Julie's letting down the team. But it's a classic, and it remains a classic even in 2017, which is really awesome. It's still being put on. Like,
yeah.
That's great.
And that the new production, the new West End production, is so beautifully designed. Mm-hmm. And they've kept a lot of maybe they've reworked the orchestration. I don't know. I'm making shit up now. But a lot of it sounds like it still has that full orchestral sound. Yeah. It's not like they went, oh, let's just put it all on MIDI keyboards.
Yeah.
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 So I feel like they've done due reference in their design.
Nobody wants and to, like, touch it, really. Like, they're not going to go make a contemporary version.
Could you imagine, like,
with, like, Ariana Grande in the lead?
It hurt me so much. I got really offended and then I realised it still wasn't a thing.
Well, we know whose name won't be coming up in the casting section.
Absolutely. And, of course, the big number that became sort of the, I guess, the number that everybody knew from the show when it came out in the 80s was Wearing the Money.
Yeah.
Known best for the tap dancing number where all the girls and the guys actually, they come out, they bring out these big coins and tap dance on the coins. And, a lot of choreographic references to the Busby Berkeley style that they you know, used to do with crazy film work and now they do with mirrors in most of the productions. I think a lot of the songs then got like a bit of a rebirth of popularity because of the choreography that went with them.
I mean, that's one of the things that annoyed me about watching the film is kind of like seeing some of the choreography. I was like, if you're in an audience, this looks terrible. Like, especially that final shot where the camera's traveling through the dancers' legs.
That is a very famous shot.
It is a very famous shot. They're literally just seeing the leads lie on the stage looking through legs as dancers kind of flip their leg over this camera as it rotates.
There are a lot of, like, older films that do that, though. Yeah, like, you watch Kiss Me, Kate, and you're like, guys, nobody can see anything. What are you doing?
It's so. Like, do it in a theatre. Shall we move on?
Most certainly.
Okay.
What have we got next?
Any production elements or casting interesting notes, Julie?
Yes. I feel like we've touched on a little bit of everything, really, from this.
Sorry. That was mainly me. I just get too excited.
It's so excitable. Nice and how passionate you are.
Yeah, thank you. If it makes me feel better, I didn't research the Australian cast at all.
Oh, well.
So thank you for doing my job.
Nancy Hayes, Tony Lamont, Leonie Page, Todd McKinney.
I know, and that's like
and Max Lambert.
Max Lambert, as music director? Or in it?
No, in it. Oh. In it.
Huh.
That's unusual. Yeah.
They were described as outstanding Australian talent assembled for the Sydney production. There you go.
There you go. Well, Max basically MDs everything now. So that's awesome. It's nice to know that.
So who other notable names have been in the cast?
So notable names.
Or interesting names.
So let's have a chat quickly about stage and then I'll go on to who was in the film. But so the original cast and, I'm assuming this is the original Broadway cast, just his original cast. The only couple of people that I kind of took from this was Jerry Orbach. And I don't know. Do you guys actually know who Jerry Orbach is?
Is he the guy who voiced Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast?
He is the guy who voiced Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast. He's also in Law and Order, Dirty Dancing, and Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, yes, Dirty Dancing. Oh, yes, Dirty
Dancing. No, I actually knew him from Law and Order. He was like...
Oh, really?
No, yeah, he was in Law and Order for a long time. Tammy Grimes as Dorothy Brock,
One Direction.
Sorry, that was... Yeah, you didn't know? Guys, this is really awkward for you. Especially you, Miranda.
I'm sorry.
Wanda Richard as Peggy Sawyer and Leroy Reams as Billy Laylaw.
Oh.
Meh. I'm not impressed.
I've seen better cast lists about.
Oh, wow.
I've seen a nice cast. So this is touching on a little bit of something that Miranda spoke about before, but in the West End 1984 production.
Which was the first, the West End premiere.
West End premiere. It was also the premiere of someone else. It was the career, started the career of a teenage Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is a great story.
Yeah, she was in the chorus. So in the 1984 Western production, she was in the chorus. But when the lady that was playing Peggy and her understudies, so...
Peggy being, just to clarify...
The lead.
The lead who comes out of the chorus and gets plucked thrown out of the chorus into stardom. Yeah.
So the lady that played her, I think she either went on a vacation and then her understudy fell ill, or either way around, you take your pick. Catherine Zeta-Jones was asked to step up in a very short time frame. So one of the producers happened to be in the audience that night, and then Catherine Zeta-Jones filled in and they were impressed enough that she was cast permanently in the role.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Real life Peggy Sawyer.
Reflects poorly on the original actress.
Well, she also chose to take a vacation.
Yeah, I mean, she was on holiday.
I mean, like, Catherine was then cast as Peggy.
Well, eventually. I don't think it was like, oh, okay, straight away. Those other guys, it's like, you. Yep,
she's on vacation.
It says she was permanently cast in the role shortly after.
Okay. Yeah.
So that could have been 34 minutes, yeah. Or it could have been...
That's very shortly
34
after.
34 days. Who knows?
There's a similar story in the original Broadway production with the director. So it's not harped on so much in the show, but in the movie it's quite clear that Julian Marsh, the director, is a sick man.
Yeah.
He lost a lot of money in the Depression and he has to have this show. It's his last show. It has to do well. It has to support him for a long time, kind of thing. You know, they really push the whole "it's his last show" thing. Mm. You do see it a bit in the stage show, but it's made a lot clearer in the film. That the gentleman who directed the original production, Gower Champion, ended up in quite the same situation. It ended up being his last show, and in fact, he passed away on the day of the premiere.
Wow!
So. Yeah, Julian Marsh didn't die in the just to be clear, because you know, a happy sequence and Tap Shoes, nobody dies. But yeah, it's interesting that these little similarities pop in.
Yeah,
it's a very Broadway story.
Maybe it's cursed.
Oh! I don't think Catherine Zeta-Jones would agree with you.
Art imitating life.
Yeah, that's right. I guess if you write a show about a Broadway show.
Yeah, there's going to be
the Broadway show is going to end.
There's going to be a chance.
Yeah. Something's going
to
happen.
Okay. Well,
are we going to talk about the casting in the film?
Yeah, there's a little bit more,
because there's
to
more
the
tidbits in there,
as well as the effects.
Ooh.
So don't be doing that. The West End revival in 2017. So it previewed on
currently playing.
Yeah, currently playing. Previewed on March 20th. There was one kind of name that stood out to me. And I didn't bother to research, and I'm going to get you guys to tell me why. So,
why it stood out to you?
Yeah. Get out your Google.
This is Julie's new game. Do my homework for me on air.
You guys didn't play that at school?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't just me. So I was reading along, and the cast includes Sheena Easton as Dorothy Brock. Mm. Someone tell me why that name stands out to me. How do I know Sheena Easton?
Well, this is the Broadway diva role in the show, so I would say she would be of an age, not necessarily elderly, but you know, So she's probably okay. Got...
Well, no, so Sheena Easton is a Scottish singer, recording artist, stage and screen actress with a dual British-American nationality. So Easton first came to the public eye as the focus of an episode in the first British musical reality television program, The Big Time Pop Singer.
You which definitely I've have seen never that, heard right, Julie?
I'm going to say that's maybe not.
So she was born in 1959. So she is 58.
Yeah. Now. I think she's probably... It's probably one of those names. Yeah, she's done things.
Just inceptioned into all of my dreams or something one day.
Her first two singles, Modern Girl and 9 to 5, both entered so UK she's top 10.
Dolly Parton.
UK Dolly Parton. 42nd Street, now starring UK Dolly Parton. In fact, the trailer for that, she sings a bit on the trailer.
2017, yeah.
Yeah, but that's a beautiful trailer. Can we link that in the notes?
Sure.
Yeah. If you would like to see a small portion of the wonder that is 42nd Street.
Yeah, do that. Do you have anything else, Julie?
Yeah, so in the movies we've got some big names. Warner Baxter is Julian Marsh. Phoebe Daniels is Dorothy Brock. Ruby Keeler is Peggy Sawyer. And the one that I knew of, because I'm just generally uneducated, but the only one that I was like, oh, my God, no way, was Ginger Rogers as Anytime Annie, and which Miranda mentioned before was one of her debut roles, like one of her very first
featured parts. Awesome.
Because she was dating the director.
What? They have to be like about that.
It's the same year that she went into, that she started the Fred and Ginger 10-year partnership.
She's obviously very talented. So she just happened to be with the director.
Yeah, but I don't know whether she got it because she was dating him, but basically the
maybe
what I heard was he urged her to take it. So maybe it could have just been like because he was the director, he got her instead of she coerced him into getting her.
Yeah.
See, I wasn't aware of any of that and I just assumed it was because she was on contract to the company and they were like, oh, throw her in so that people know her before the Fred and Ginger film comes out.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it was the same year as the first Fred and Ginger film.
So in terms of effects, we've also had a little chat about that as well. So in the 1933 original movie, I think it actually played a really important part. So the movie was designed to distract. So it was that time like we threw the depression kind of thing and everyone's like, I just don't like life very much at the moment.
I don't want to hear about
anything. I don't like anything out here. I want to see something nice in there.
I don't want to have to go into my head and have those thoughts again. So let's just watch a little pretty musical, shall we? And that's really what it did. So it was designed to distract. So Busby Berkeley choreographed these amazing dance numbers. Like there's not like it's just incredible when you watch that movie.
Yeah.
Like obviously I haven't. But like I have seen YouTube clips of it. But I've seen the important bits.
It's a style of choreography that we very rarely see anymore where it's like all about the synchronization of massive numbers of people.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the perfection.
Yeah.
Of that as well.
Like the closest thing I can think, like contemporary reference, is the Rockettes.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even their synchronization isn't always on point.
It's not.
Well, they made the movie quite quickly.
Yeah, when you're making 13 movies a week.
yeah. Oh, no, yeah. I was referring more to the Rockettes than to the film.
Well, having spoken to a Rockette, they are physically intimidating.
Just casually being best friends with a Rockette.
I'm not casually best friends with a Rockette. I took the tour and I spoke to one that was there to answer our questions. And what they say about their training regime was impressive, to say the least. So they don't get to keep any of their costumes, which I was very sad to hear.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. Like, that doesn't surprise me.
Even if they lose like one earring, they have to pay for it.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds about right.
That's so sad.
It's working in America at the end of the day. Like, we're pretty lucky.
We've gone off topic now.
We have. Oh, no. Sorry, guys.
A lot of the choreography around what they could do with camera angles as well as what they could do with the use of lights and I think impressively at the time hydraulics as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So these use of like three hydraulic platforms to kind of create depth and texture to what the choreography maybe was, maybe a little bit simple when you actually really look at it, but so impressive.
It's about formation.
In that formation. Mm. So impressive in that you're looking at it and you're like, those people are literally rising out of the ground right now.
Yeah. But it's also what I was saying before, like if you're an audience member watching what's going on stage, you're kind of like, what's happening?
Hydraulics would
when
still
you're
be kind of cool.
Camera looking yeah. down on this happening, it's like, oh, that's pretty.
Still,
well,
like
a lot of, I mean, they did, why they didn't retain that choreography for the stage production, but they do reference it.
Yeah. Yeah. And we mentioned before the stage.
Stylistically, was
with mirrors.
Yeah, they do some of it.
And gigantic coins, which was so much fun.
So much.
I really
fun.
Liked the gigantic coins when
oh,
I got to do
jealous.
It. Didn't even get to dance on a gigantic coin, but I was appreciative of the mini gigantic coins and the one big gigantic coin that we
the
had.
The mini gigantic coin
well,
is
yeah,
a really
we had,
great
like,
title.
Too. Mini gigantic coins, which were big enough for one female dancer each, and then we had a really big gigantic coin, which were for the two boys.
Amazing.
They have to share a coin.
They had to share one big coin in the middle. But watching them, like, because it wasn't
typical.
Yeah, it was kind
men
of
men always get paid more.
One big coin,
but you have to share it.
Or in the case of amateur musical theatre, they get paid nothing and still have to share the coin.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah,
sexism.
But yeah, so all in all, it's this musical in effects wise is all about the dance. It's
yeah,
incredible.
Yeah,
and the costumes well, add to that.
Mm. Of yeah. the eight Tonys it was nominated for.
Tony.
Only it won Best Musical for the year that it was nominated, mm-hmm. But also choreography.
Yes.
So I think quite deservedly.
Yes. Same again for the revival. Did they win choreography for the revival?
Let me
I should
look
know
it up.
This. This was on my... Oh, no, they didn't. Take that back.
No,
take it back. I take it back.
They won Outstanding Revival musical. And that was the only other...
Good rewind. That was me eating my words.
That's good.
Best Performance by Leading Actress in a Musical, Christine Ebersole. And Best Revival of a Musical.
Good
Tonys.
Guys.
Well, yeah, very good job. And the film, I forgot to mention this before, 42nd Street was... officially ranked by the American Film Institute in 2006 as the 13th greatest movie musical of all time.
13th?
I wonder what are
the
13th.
Unlucky 13, that's okay.
I didn't see the rest of the list, but
well,
I guess that's
the You're Going Out There a Youngster But You're Coming Back a Star, that's on in the top 100 movie quotes.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Wow.
And on IMDb.
What are the other 12?
It would be is interesting
I guess
to find out.
If Cats was before
as we do the podcast, we might find the other 12.
What list was this from again?
You can't just look it up. You're spoiling it for everybody. The American Film Institute Greatest Movie Musicals
so
of All
the
Time.
The AFI Musicals of All Time.
Oh, yeah, I probably could have just typed in AFI, hey.
Yeah, never mind.
The whole thing.
We'll discover the other 12 as we work through our musical history.
So, Dreamcast, who have we got? I believe, Miranda, you'll have some strong opinions about
this.
I
would like to play Peggy Sawyer, Dorothy Brock.
Is this your
Dreamcast? Okay. You would love to be in it, but do you think
I would
you
love
would
to
be
do
better
all the
than
roles.
Anyone else that could do it?
Yes.
All right, you heard it here,
lies.
Everyone.
Total lies. You know what? I'm so in love with the first cast that I saw when, like, thousands of years ago when I was a young person in the 80s. I just feel like no one could go past Nancy Hayes.
Yeah.
Tony Lamont, that like, just amazing cast.
Yeah. Nancy playing Dorothy still would be
phenomenal
to watch.
She'll just play forever.
Forever.
I mean, it's a really hard role to cast for, isn't it? Because she has to be kind of small town girl, but then without transforming in like a big makeover scene or a montage, she has to transform into this Broadway star legends. So it's really kind of a tough shoe to fit.
But I think Absolutely. That the thing that makes that work is that she doesn't transform.
Yeah,
she is just exactly. herself the whole so time.
What kind of girl has that? Well, what kind of female could you cast that is that any woman, but also that?
Is a triple threat yeah. of all triple threat. I
mean, and who can tap dance?
And who can tap dance?
This is the thing, Sutton Foster. I'll, yes, yeah. take it.
I mean, if you Again, take, all the if roles. You take, yeah, well, she did. She's done Violet and she's done Anything Goes. So I think a combination of those two could put her in this role.
I'm
You're not a fan of Sutton.
How dare you Only play Devil's Advocate?
I feel that perhaps Peggy needs to be a little bit younger.
That's true.
Than
that
Sutton
is true.
Foster currently is. Even I think we should wait and age Sutton Foster a little bit up. Just wait a bit on that. And I think she'd be actually be a very good Dorothy Brock. Because I think she can play that vintage.
I would actually say I think that Peggy is the is the role that should always be cast with a virtual
a nobody.
No one.
I think that makes sense.
That would be really
like
nice.
Catherine Zeta. I think that should be the story that goes into.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Still guys. A nobody. No.
I would very much like to see Catherine Zeta-Jones play Dorothy Brook now, just because.
Maybe that's what. Yeah. Just take all the people who've ever played Peggy and put them now as Dorothy, and you know, just have this like rolling
a new
cast.
Person.
Yeah,
just
a rolling cast.
I would actually love.
I would love that.
That would be amazing.
It would be really musicals at the moment too. Don't require you to be amazing at all three.
That's true.
Particularly dance, I feel, is starting to
lose. I mean,
it
works
lose.
Well for me, but
yeah.
it makes
well,
me sad.
And then even as a dancer, you get down to a tap dancer.
Yeah.
You're really dropping the numbers, so to speak.
Yeah. It would be nice to see it back.
Oh, Billy Lawler in the Australian revival, which is obviously happening immediately.
Yeah.
As like just as soon as we can possibly get the current West End production to transfer. Australia's first and original favourite dancer, Jack Chambers.
Oh, would be great. He was fantastic. Yeah.
He is fantastic. I taught him everything he knows.
He's amazing. You've done a good job, Brad.
Thank you.
Good job.
In case he's listening, I realise I didn't do anything, but I was there when you were learning stuff, so that's
that
the same
counts,
thing,
right?
Yeah, that's yeah.
For association.
I loved him in Singing in the Rain.
Yes, yeah.
All right. What top five list does this belong to? Like, so it's an iconic musical.
Oh, top five tap musicals.
I would even say go more. Well, top five iconic dance numbers in a musical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah? We're in the money?
Yeah. I think it would be a strong contender.
Even 42nd Street's quite iconic.
Mm.
Yes, yeah.
Mm. And even the opening number is quite iconic. That opens up on their feet and then the curtain rises.
Julian Marsh is doing a show.
I'm just remembering.
Get out your tap shoes, Francis.
How the show goes towards the end of the podcast.
Top five successful transfers from film to stage.
Yes.
Because I feel like that has not gone well for some.
Some, but that list is getting big though.
It is.
Especially with Disney moving in on it.
Yeah.
A lot of their movies
are. Not
doing
well,
can I put the caveat of Disney aside?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Excluding Disney.
But Disney aren't doing the best job at doing it that anyway. Like, they don't always pick a great cast to do that, so. Gonna say it's in the top.
If we go film to stage as opposed to from stage to film, which it generally is. Like films that have been turned into musicals also don't necessarily go fantastically. So I think,
but this one did.
This one did.
Yeah. This one did.
Well, there are a few that you could name that would be as iconic as this.
Yeah.
If you exclude Disney.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I think maybe top five musicals that reference. Four-decade-old subject matter.
Will it be the only one in this category?
Well, no. There's about to be Hercules talking about Disney.
It's true. Are we not just ignoring the Disney canon for now? Is that just not easier?
Look, we can't ignore Disney forever. It's going to be in Disney. There. Well, I feel like this should be in a lot of top five lists.
Well, top five.
Oh, it is. Miranda's
Broadway stories about Broadway.
Yeah.
Top five Broadway fables.
Mm.
What about just top like five and Guys and Dolls, really? For Peggy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Top five roles for newcomers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Top five highest grossing films of the year 1933.
I did check how where it sat in the longest running. It's like 13th longest running musical.
Yeah, it hasn't been in the top 10 for a while, but it did, like, for its time, it was a massive financial success.
Especially during the 80s when Broadway wasn't what it is now.
Yeah.
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 Revenue wise.
Yeah, it's great.
I've got one.
Oh no.
Here we go. Here we go.
It's going to be a good one.
Top five musicals that require two casts, one for the show and one for Dorothy's leg.
What?
If I could drop this mic, I would.
Please don't drop my mic. Oh, dear. Oh.
How many others can we think of?
Oh, that's a top five heartbreaking. Pun.
I think it might be the top one. Oh,
Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah.
This is probably the only top five list that you could get those two shows in together.
All right. Well, now for the title question.
Mm.
Oh, God.
What lessons does this musical teach us?
It taught me how to tap dance in one way or another.
There you go.
Thank you, world.
Yay.
It definitely teaches you that to succeed on Broadway, you just have to break enough legs.
Wow.
Just saying. You can take that either way, ladies. Just be good enough or just knock out everyone above you.
It was an accident, guys.
It was an accident. But still.
But still.
I think it teaches you to take a risk and it may pay off. It may not. I mean, it depends how much the director likes you, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's worth turning up to the audition late and walking in anyway.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's a lesson.
Doesn't it teach you to be nice to other dancers? Because it was the other dancers that said, hey, come and dance with us. And then the director saw her.
Well, then, yeah.
I think it also, like I said before, like it teaches us the value of cast support.
Yeah.
Like Peggy wouldn't have been, well, might not have been able to do it if the other two hadn't come in and given her the words to bolster her.
In the film, Ginger Rogers' character gets offered this first.
Yes.
Because the kitty car man says, hey, here's my new girlfriend, use her. And she walks into the room and says, I'm not the girl for this.
Yeah, I can't
It's
do
Peggy.
This. Yeah.
Peggy can do this. So, yeah.
Female solidarity.
Yay. Love one another.
Or if you're Julie, don't.
It taught me that Busby Berkeley was a goddamn genius.
Yeah.
Of his time.
It definitely that choreography is amazing to look at.
Yeah.
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 Even just to figure out how they're doing it rather than just like once you're done admiring the dancers for what they're doing, the mechanics of what's happening
is
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else then?
I'm pretty sure it taught me how to do an American accent.
Because
I'm fairly
sure
I learnt that. I've learnt all my Broadway skills from that record.
Yeah.
Going round and round in my record player.
Amazing.
What a good job it did.
So it teaches you how to be American.
Teaches you how to
be American. No offense to any of
the Australian cast recording.
No offense to any of Miranda's previous teachers, but everything was from that record.
Good.
All right. So this has been our first show.
Oh my God! Yeah. Is it finished already?
Well, this is amazing. It, and we've We'll try and be as thorough as we can in the show notes. So if you have any questions or if we've mentioned any links or names, we'll try to include as much of that in the show notes as possible for you. So that's all hosted on our website. That's notcanonproductions.com/MTMEIK.
What?
So as a first episode clarification, that's not canon. Just no apostrophe, no nothing.
Well, it's a URL. It's a URL. You can't.
But like, there's no dash or underscore to replace it. It's just that's ignore apostrophe.
I will continue to.
That's all canon.
For the grammar.
Now we're also.
Is it canon or canon? Canon. How many N's are in this word?
Two N's. C A N O N.
Thank you very much.
So it's not canon like the shooty gun.
It's not canon like the shooty gun, which is in the logo, which may cause some problems. But
it's a pun, Miranda. It's a visual pun.
I thought you didn't like puns.
I'm aware.
I don't like puns.
I love puns. I love the whole thing.
But if you go to thatsnotcanonproductions.com, you will find a link to both the podcast and the show site. So so you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/musicalsteachme and on Twitter at
teach me musicals.
And subscribe, rate and review us on iTunes and maybe even consider going onto Patreon and giving us some monthly cash.
What? We'd love you forever.
Yeah,
would we do with all of that $1 a month?
Well,
buy Tim Tams?
Yeah.
After a few months, probably, or if they're on sale.
After a few
months. I'll pitch in.
Or wait for a pack that is a few months old.
Either way.
Either way.
So if you've enjoyed listening, please tell your friends, pass us around. We will be coming out weekly.
Yay!
Yeah.
Every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, stop me when I get there.
Friday!
Because Friday is musical day.
Yes.
Friday.
I believe if you're in Australia, we'll be coming out just after midnight, Friday Eastern Standard Time. If you're in the US, that makes it Thursday around 2 p.m.
Whoa.
Oh, what a convenient time.
No.
That
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yes, it's correct. I take it back.
One, two.
Because they're behind.
Yes.
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 Yeah. So, guys, we were there first. We won't tell you what happens, don't worry.
Don't worry. They have Broadway, so it breaks even. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. I've been Zancy Weber.
Kristen Barros.
Julie Eisentrager.
And Miranda Selwood.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.